welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
Just good to be back, Marty. It's been a while.
Well, Bill, we've been covering the life of Martin Luther, the great reformer who really fought the battle and recovered the great truth of justification by faith. But today we're coming to someone very special. We've never covered a sister before.
Yeah.
And this time we're going to cover one who is called Martin's dearest, and that is his dear wife, Katie Luther. And so I think this time should be a real treasure. And we begin this time with considering, you know, when Martin Luther was hiding out in that castle in Wartburg, he spent his time in translating the New Testament, and he was also writing a number of articles and tracts. And one particular matter that he was really burdened for, I guess because this was his past experience, he was burdened for the monks and the nuns who were still in the monasteries. And so he wanted to write something on the monastic vows. And so he wrote some small articles. Especially he was burdened that they would get released practically in their conscience from the vow of chastity.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin maintained that this vow in particular that many of them took was really contrary to God's word, and it was also contrary to the natural order of man. So I think we'll begin here today, Bill. He was really fighting, wasn't he, for the proper marriage life.
That's right. Like you say, Marty, he was not only a champion of the truth, opening the Bible to us, recovering justification by faith, trying to overthrow all of those heresies and false teachings of Catholicism. Of course, we're talking 500 years ago. And he was really fighting for the proper married life. Of course, he was a monk, and he also took those vows of chastity. He was really fighting against this Catholic, you know, practice of so-called pursuit of holiness, that the only way you could pursue holiness is by being single, a celibate. But Luther, again, because he knew the word, he believed the word of God. You know, he knew 1 Timothy chapter 4 concerning the demonic teaching of forbidding to marry. So he really was strong against that, and he taught from the scriptures that marriage is to be held in honor. Again, he used the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 that marriage is to be held in honor.
Right.
So how could that be reconciled with the wrong teachings of celibacy in Catholicism? He further argued, right, that marriage was not only holy, it was not sinful. But actually, the more the monks and nuns and that would marry, the more this would deter sin, living in fornication. He believed also that there were exceptions of ones who would remain single for the kingdom of God's sake. But he also knew 1 Corinthians 7, again, the word of God, it's better to marry in order to avoid falling into fornication. Of course, his writings, Marty, they really stirred up a lot of people. I mean, all kinds of monks and nuns, like, you know, the almost structure of Catholicism was disintegrating concerning the monks and nuns, and they were Catholics were really stirred up. But a number of the monks and nuns, you know, they renounced their vows, left monasteries and convents, and they began to marry. And then he felt strongly that these ones should marry rather than end up in a life of immorality.
Well, Luther really encouraged actually all the believers to follow the principle in the Bible of one husband for one wife. And of course, more he spoke on this and more he fought the battle, especially for these ones who were still in the monastery, that they all could be released in their conscience. The more he did that, like you say, he stirred up a little hornet's nest there.
Yeah.
Of course, some began to ask Luther, both his enemies and even his followers, that why was he encouraging others to get married, and yet he was not getting married himself. So Luther, you know, he had to make things clear. He said, well, it was not that he was a man without feelings himself.
Yeah, right.
But he was expecting to face the death of an accused heretic. So he was really under a lot of persecution, mm-hmm. and he realized that his days could be numbered if the Roman Catholic Church pursued their wishes. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't want to put a wife in the place of a widow. So that was the reason he gave why he was still standing as a single man. So he knew in Genesis, of course, 2:18, where it says it's not good for a man to be alone.
Right.
But Luther decided he wanted to spend a few more days as a single man so that he could devote himself fully to the Lord and to his work. Mm-hmm. And so when he heard about these monks who were given wives in Wittenberg, Luther declared, "They won't give me one."
Yeah.
So, of course, we know, according to history, that this all was to change very soon. And actually, it did. In June of 1525, Martin Luther himself became a married man. So,
right.
Actually, the story, the account of how this took place is very interesting.
Right. Evidently, a couple years, right, Marty, before that, in 1523, Luther and his friend, right, they devised this kind of a plan because he was trying to get all these nuns out of the convents, but that was a risky endeavor because this, secular ruler, Duke George, he made it a capital offense if you were to help us nuns escape from the monastery. But he secretly was able to, to get them out in a covered wagon at night to free them up. Of course, after they were freed, it was also not easy to take care of them. Who's going to take and who's going to receive them? If you would receive them, they may turn you in and get you in trouble. But eventually he found some families, to take them in.
Right.
And then after a few years, only one of them was left, and that was Catherine von Bora. And she was born, in 1499, younger than Luther, placed in a nunnery, at the age of 10, took the vows, right, age of 16. And of course, like so many others, not happy at all with the life of the convent. She eventually, right, had a couple suitors, had a couple of those interested in her. Right, but she didn't have any kind of a definite feeling for them. And then Luther recommended other men, happened to see her and recommended another man to her. She declined and said, I'd be willing to marry you. Of course, that no doubt surprised Martin. So this began, I guess, a kind of a courtship. And, she was what, 16 years old? He was, 16 years older than Catherine?
That's right, yeah.
So anyhow, this is quite an interesting love story here.
It is. While she was still in that convent, like you say, she wasn't happy. She was somewhat dissatisfied. She was seeking the Lord, and she got stirred up with Luther's writings and all that. And so she desired to live a normal human life and have a proper marriage and family life. So this time came about where she mentioned to Luther that she would be willing to marry him. And, of course, like you say, Luther, at that time, he was 41 years old. And she was only 26. So Luther eventually, he sought counsel from his parents. And, of course, they were thrilled. They would like to have some offspring from Martin. And Luther said, he testified, "I wasn't necessarily madly in love, but he gave three main reasons why he decided to get married. One was to please his father.
Right.
Secondly, to rile the Pope. And thirdly, Luther said he wanted to defy the devil."
Wow.
Who really was making this false teaching and, putting all these ones under bondage. So it happened at the age when Martin was 41 years old. He married Catherine von Bora, and of course she's also known as Katie.
Yeah.
And so actually at the time of their wedding, their friend John Frederick, who was the elector of Saxony there where they lived, mm-hmm. he actually gave them the former monastery as a wedding gift.
Yeah.
This place where Luther spent a few years of his life as a monk. So, of course, many around were really focused on this wedding. This was very significant that Martin Luther, here's a former priest, would marry a former nun. So, yeah. Of course, many were very happy, but others really criticized, used this as an opportunity to somewhat spitefully criticize Luther and his new bride. And this was actually Catherine's first taste of bearing the Lord's reproach with her reformer husband.
Hmm.
So someone told Luther that Catherine now would become a partner of all his calamities.
Right.
So anyway, this was joyful, but yet there was some taste of reproach at their time of their wedding.
Right. No doubt Catherine was really sovereignly given to Martin to be a helpmate to him, right?
Right.
Right. She was obviously, right, Marty, sovereignly chosen by God to match him. They were equally yoked, both consecrated, loving the Lord, reading the Word. Their letters testify of their mutual love, deep love for one another. And of course, the history books tell us their love, you know, blossomed. It grew over the years, and even if we would quote from one like Watchman Nee, who once said, "Right, that love is like anything organic. It needs feeding. It needs food.
Right,
love dies without food. Right, if you starve it, it will die. But if you feed it, it will grow." So that was Brothers Watchman Nee's take on the matter of the marriage relationship. They just learned, right, in their all their years of marriage, to love one another, value and respect one another. Even Luther is said to have said that if he would lose his wife Katie, even if someone would offer him a queen to replace her, she would not take another wife. They were, you know, as Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 3, they were really fellow heirs of the grace of life. She was eventually, no doubt, a very virtuous wife, loving mother. They had 6 children, right? She was able, very capable manager of the family household, business affairs. She made a comfortable home, very challenging, right? You know, it's almost like that home was like a home, a hospital, a hostel, everything. So they really had a marvelous, not only family life together, but with their children. They loved their kids. They had home meetings together. So this was really quite an honorable thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Martin really treasured her. Sometimes he used different languages to call her his dearest or his heart love. And, of course, one time he was kidding around. He said, "She is my Ketty." Instead of Katie, he said, "Ketty, my chain." Of course, I guess she also, you know, somewhat balanced him and restricted him. And actually, she was a real helpmate to him in many ways. But their place, like you say, you know, it was this big 40-room cloister,
yeah,
that she had to transform into a real comfortable home. And there were, in some of the biographies, says that at times all 40 rooms would be occupied. So they had, of course, they had 6 of their own children. They had extended family that would come. Some other friends and the poor students would always be coming to stay for a while. And then he had another assortment of guests and friends, or refugees even sometimes would come and stay there. So Martin Luther once said that the hubbub in his household of babies and children and students and guests,
yeah,
and servants was so great that Luther had to send his son Hans away early to school so that he could study in a quiet place.
Yeah.
So that must have been quite a operation there. And she was really quite an overseer. And
right,
Martin really deferred to her in all the domestic affairs. And, of course, they had a little garden there. They had an orchard and a fish pond. And apparently they had a barnyard full of livestock. And Luther, he appreciated her. He said she was like the morning star of Wittenberg.
Wow.
And he called her that because sometimes she would get up around 4 in the morning during the summers and 5 a.m. in the winter. And of course, Luther appreciated her. He said, "I would not change my Katie for France and Venice."
Right.
Yeah. He said, "She is so true to me and a good mother to my children." So she really helped him and allowed Martin, of course, a way that he could not neglect his own work.
Mm-hmm.
And she cared for him both physically and psychologically. And of course, one of their sons, I guess, became a medical doctor himself. And he said, actually, he called his mom a half a doctor,
mm-hmm.
because of all her little remedies and care that she would have for both Martin and her family and others. So, of course, they did experience, like many married couples, you know, so many joys, but they also had their share of trials and anxieties. And, of course, mm-hmm. they did also have some real sorrows. They had one of their daughters, Elizabeth, died before she reached her first birthday.
Yeah.
And Martin Luther said, "I would never have believed that the hearts of parents are so moved toward their children."
That's right.
And then on top of that, they had another daughter, Magdalene. She died at the age of 13.
Mm.
And, of course, this was a great loss.
Right.
And Martin said he knelt down and prayed right at her bedside. He said, "Lord, I love her very much and would like to keep her. But, dear Lord, since it is thy will to take her away, I am glad to know that she will be with thee."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that was a real trial to them, but you can really see the care between the husband, the love of the husband and the wife, and as parents toward their children was very sweet.
Right. They really had a marvelous family. Of course, they had many musical evenings. They probably both were very musical, sang around the table, many conversations, right? A lot of that is in, you know, Martin's book. History tells us, called a book called Table Talks.
Right.
Of course, they had a lot of enjoyable conversations, companionship. They would, you know, give each other a hard time once in a while. And there was really quite a marvelous husband-wife relationship there.
Right.
When it got to, you know, verses like, you know, Abraham commanded to kill his own son, then she would say, "God would not have done this to his son." And then Martin would reply, "Oh, but Katie, he did." So
right.
At one point, you know, she would try to expose Martin, her husband, in dealing with a matter of unbelief. And then another time, you know, when Martin would be somewhat depressed, you know, she would put on a mock funeral dress. And then eventually he got the message and cheered up. So, of course, his loving relationship, you know, history tells us came to an end. You know, Martin Luther died at the age of 62.
Right.
He's most well known for his great struggle with the degraded Roman Catholic Church. Everyone knows that.
Right.
And of course, a release of the teaching of justification by faith, translating the Bible into the vernacular, and giving people direct access to God. But on the other hand, when you look at his marriage to Katie and their family life, that was also, Marty, right, a great testimony to believers, not just on the spiritual side, but on the social side.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great testimony to the believers of that day. And that their wedding had a major impact, right, on the German people in particular.
Right. One of his biographers, Roland Baton, he said, "The Luther who got married in order to testify to his faith actually founded a home and did more than any other person to determine the tone of German domestic relations for the next four centuries."
Wow, that's 400 years.
Yes, so amazing. Their marriage was such a testimony to the German people.
Right.
Of course, Martin Luther, you know, in the book of Proverbs, it tells us, chapter 18, it tells us that when someone would find such a good wife, he would find a good thing and favor from Jehovah.
Right.
And this was really his case. And, you know, when you read about Katie Luther, you really have a feeling she is very similar to that woman described, the virtuous one described in Proverbs 31, which says that a wife like this is really a crown to her husband. And she was good to him all her days. She delighted to work, and she arose, you know, just like it says in the Proverbs there, she arose while it was still night to care for her household. And she stretched out her hand to the afflicted and often supplied the needy. This was really her case. And she really watched closely over her household and, you know, did not eat the bread of idleness. That's for sure.
Right.
She was really a diligent worker and cared for the household. Of course, when Martin died, she had to press on. She pressed on for about 6 more years after her husband fell asleep in the Lord. And she tried to keep that cloister, you know, as their home. And she did that by renting rooms out to students.
Yeah.
But eventually it became so difficult with the wars that were going on and besieging of Wittenberg there.
Right.
And, of course, they also had some of those plagues or pestilences that would come through that area. And so they would have to flee, her and her children.
Yeah.
And one time when she was fleeing, she had a bad accident on the horse.
Mm.
And apparently she never recuperated from that, but eventually went to the Lord, even at a young age. She was only 53 years old.
Yeah.
But I appreciate, you know, Billy, she said her final words were, "I will stick to Christ as a burr to a top coat."
Wow.
So she didn't overly think highly of herself, but she did have the real burden to stick with the Lord, and that was her real testimony.
Right. I hope that we would all learn of the pattern of this couple. So, I mean, how thankful, right, how grateful we are for that testimony of this dear sister, right, Catherine Katie, the wife of Martin Luther. And it reminds me, Marty, too, a little bit of Watchman Nee's wife, Charity Chang, who became a very, very excellent helpmeet to Brother Watchman Nee in their short but difficult life. And no doubt Charity Chang marrying Brother Watchman Nee in 1934.
Right.
This was really something of the Lord to join these two together. Anyhow, so we thank the Lord for these patterns for us.
Amen. All right, Bill, well, we'll conclude here for today. And like you say, we are very thankful both to Martin and Katie for such a pattern to us concerning the marriage life. And especially this time, first time we're covering a sister. We're so thankful for such a good testimony of a dear sister and wife and mother, our sister Katie Luther. So we'll conclude here. Thanks.